Well, I'm glad you could sing and worship the Lord, telling him, yes, you have seen him move the mountains on your behalf already in the past. And you know what? The mountains which are right now in our lives, he can move them too. He will move them. So, praise God that we are able to worship the Lord like this. Would you open your Bible, though? We're going to look in the Word of God. We've been challenged this morning. We're going to have three scripture verses really to look at it. The first one is going to be Acts chapter 2. We're going to look at the fellowship of the believers there. And like I said before, the question this morning is, are you contagious? Or let me say it this way. What if the Heavenly Father in the divine council would ask his army, his heavenly army, to go into the world and to take a test kit with them and to test you if you are contagious? Would the test come back positive or negative? Now, in this particular case, positive would mean that you are very effective for the kingdom of the living God. Or negative, obviously, would be, well, there is not much you have to give to other people because you decided not to give it to them. So you would not be contagious. So the question, obviously, we asked this morning first before we go reading the text itself is, what does it really mean to be contagious? And we wrote it down for you. So it's a definition from Webster's Dictionary. And it says, it's an influence that spreads rapidly through personal contact. You say, well, what about the things we hear today, that things will pass, being passed on if somebody touches a doorknob and somebody else follows you and touches the same doorknob? Well, that will be infectious. But I'm talking about contagious. Contagious means that it takes a person to come in contact with another person, and that's how you pass it on. In other words, it would be you and me getting in contact with somebody else for them to be touched with whatever we want them to be touched with. It could be a few questions which we could ask ourselves on this one. So let's say you meet another person. I'm talking about personally, and you are contagious. Could it be that you would witness or be a witness of the Lord Jesus Christ in your life because of your passion and your enthusiasm you have for the Lord? In other words, wherever you may go and wherever you have a conversation, do people recognize there is a passion in your heart for godly things, a passion and an enthusiasm to share with them what God is doing in your life? That will be contagious. If they recognize that God is doing in and through you certain things, they would like to know how he does it. Well, that opens the door for other opportunities. That means contagious would be your attitude. The other thing would be, what about, could they hear the excitement in your voice? Or would you just say something like, oh, you know, at 10 o'clock, we're going to tune in to our live stream at Victory. I assume the pastor expects me to do it. Is that excitement? No, that's not excitement. You will go something like, you know what, I can hardly wait. 10 o'clock Sunday morning, we all get together in our home. My family gets together. And we are going to celebrate God's goodness. What we're going to do is we're going to worship the Lord together. We're going to pray together. And we're going to share the word of God together. Would you think the person who's listening to you will probably recognize that you are pretty enthusiastic about these things? You will be contagious. It would be something like this. You know, I don't know. I don't want to tell them, but I think I'm going to go home too and turn in and see what's going on here. So that will be contagious. Another thing will be, what about the characteristics you project? You know, when you exhibit certain characteristics in life and you meet with another person, and the person looks at you and says, you know what, there's something different about you. The way you look at these things, let's go into the world we're living in today. Let's say, I know everybody has to have social distancing. By the way, when the more social distancing we do, the less we become immune against all that stuff. You know, I remember when we grew up, Mom and Dad didn't care if we were in the sandbox or somewhere out there in the field eating dirt, or if maybe a worm was included, whatever. But our immune system got built up. Mom never said, oh, stop doing that. She just let us go. So in other words, the more we are exposed to it, the more we are going to be immune against it. But that's besides the point. But let's say you are having that characteristic of a godly attitude. And wherever you go, that shows. I would say percentage-wise, it's a good chance that the people which you meet, 3/4 probably, if not more, are going to be more on a negative side today. And then there is that crazy Christian, the crazy follower of Jesus, who said, well, you know what? I know what we're facing. I'm not ignoring the problems we are facing. But I tell you what, my God's got that in his hands. You have a positive attitude. Or like we were singing this morning, he moves the mountains. And he does. On our behalf, he moves mountains. He goes before us. We were singing at the beginning that his hand upholds us through our trials. These are not just sayings. These are attitudes. These are characteristics which are going to play out every day in our life, wherever we go. So this is what we're going to talk this morning about it. So let's open up to Acts chapter 2. Let me share with you, the disciples during that time in the first century, they went through trials. They were brand spanking new believers. They just heard about the gospel. And they didn't have 6 months or 12 months or 2 years preparatory steps where they learn how to deal with trials. Trials and problems and difficult times in the political and religious systems and in the economics where they're living in were daily occurrences. They were not something I think we might gonna experiencing it. They became new believers and they were right in there. And this is what Luke, the one who wrote the book of Acts, is telling us. He said, they devoted, I'm reading verse 42, chapter 2 of Acts. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. So let's look at the first thing here. They devoted themselves to 4 biblical principles or essentials. There's a lot of stuff church can do, but there are some essentials. And I think in those few verses, we're being introduced to essentials. This is something which we cannot live unless we have it. So they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. They devoted themselves to having fellowship with other believers. They devoted themselves to sharing in meals. That's what that means, breaking of bread. And they devoted themselves to prayer. That means they made a decision. This is not something which just comes natural. I have nothing else to do. Devotion means everything else in my life takes a backseat. This is priority in my life. This is the most important thing as a follower of Jesus. I want to devote myself to these things. Chuck Swindoll wrote long time ago a book called The Church Awakening. And he wrote this about this chapter. He said, it is precisely these 4 areas the adversary will attack so he can disrupt and, if possible, destroy the church. That's why it's important to keep our priorities straight. You see the priorities? It is essential that we do not get distracted by all that we can do as a church and stay focused on only what we must do as a church. Otherwise, we may be attracting a crowd for the wrong reasons. Why is that so important to understand? Because in the times we're living in, there are a ton of needs in our own body, but needs in our community, needs in our extended families. There are a lot of needs. And there are a million opportunities for you and me to get involved in. And there's absolutely nothing wrong with getting involved in. We should be involved in. But that's not our first priority. Our first priority is an absolute devotion to those four essentials. And I call them essentials because without these essentials in place, we will try to do the needs out there without having the focus straight. And when the focus is not right, you know what? Jesus doesn't get the glory. That's the problem. And so I'm going to challenge you this morning, because next Wednesday we're going to look at this book. And we're going to look, how do disciples work that thing out? And we will go to the scripture verses again. Only this time I wanted to look at it as a preparatory step for Wednesday night from a little bit a different angle. So we just hound in on those four essentials here. Because all the things that are needs in this world are never the main thing. So keep that in mind. All the needs the world has, that includes you and me, are never the main thing. The main thing is stacked up in that verse 42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. That means they were looking and hearing and then applying and absorbing and restudying what the apostles were teaching them. So I think that is so important in today's circumstances. It is the word of God that never changes. As you probably have recognized by now, circumstances change awfully fast. I mean, very fast. We may get up tomorrow morning and everything in this world has changed again. We don't know. God knows. So if we're focusing on the circumstances that are constantly changing, we are probably as miserable as the people in the world. They're not in the kingdom. We're probably as insecure as the people who don't know Jesus. Because our first priority then has not become the unchanging, infallible word of the living God. Focus on that. This will never change. Jesus will never change. We were singing this morning, his faithfulness to his people never changes. It's always the same. Because we know his faithfulness, we can go on. We can go at night to bed and have a good night rest. We can get up in the morning and have a glorious day. We can be contagious with that attitude, because the world cannot give that to you. Only the Lord Jesus can give that to you. And that is found in his teaching. That's why the apostles' teaching is so important. Human thinking does not guide God's word. Let me say it again. Human thinking does not guide God's word. As a matter of fact, if you want to be guided by God's word, you need the Holy Spirit doing it. And the Holy Spirit is never giving us interpretations what the world is saying, but he's giving us the interpretation what he said to begin with and what is written down. Go with me to the Gospel of John, chapter 16. I know I didn't mention that earlier, but it's very, very good to know. Chapter 16, verses 13 and 14. This is Jesus speaking just prior to going to the cross. He's having his disciples with him. Yes, still a big following is with him. But he's saying, I want you to know one thing. All the things I've told you, all the things I've taught you, you probably forget it when you go to the trial. And they went to a major trial and they lost Jesus for a minute, for 3 days to be exact. He said, but the Holy Spirit will bring to remembrance all those things. Let's read verses 13 and 14 out of the 16th chapter. When the Spirit of truth comes, he, you may focus that, he will guide you into all the truth. He will guide you into all the truth. Stop there for a second. Ever been confused over the last 4 or 5 weeks? Whom to trust? What to listen to? What is truth? What is not truth? What is propaganda? What is not propaganda? What is having an ulterior motive that is not godly? Or what is godly? Have you ever wondered? Listen, in this world, we will never fully discern what's truth and what's not truth, apart from the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit. He will guide us into all truth. If you want to know the truth, you have to go back to the Word of God. That's essential. That's not, well, if I have nowhere else to go, and if I'm totally confused, I lost my job, I can't pay my bills, I'm getting sick, I have to go to the hospital, my family's falling apart. My friend, it's a little late. You need to let the Holy Spirit guide you into all truth today, so you are well prepared. This is the key. This is an essential component here. The early disciples, they were listening to what the apostles said, and then they put it into practice. This will make you a contagious Christian. Look what Jesus goes on to say. He said, "For he will not speak on his own authority." How dare do we speak at our own authority? When Jesus said, the Holy Spirit will not speak on his own authority. And then we think we are authoritative. We can speak apart from the Word of God. No Christian has an authoritative word. Wow. We may know a lot. We may have positions. But you know what? Wherever we work in our family, the authority is actually coming from the Word of God. Jesus said, the Holy Spirit will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. Whoa. Do you know why it makes the Holy Spirit so contagious to every Christian? Do you know why we want to hear more from him? Because whatever he hears in the council room, in the divine council room, he brings to us. And when you and I hear what the Word of God says, revealed to us by the Holy Spirit, we can now speak the Word of God with authority, and it becomes contagious. That doesn't mean that everybody is going to become your friend. Oh no. It is contagious one way or the other. Some of them will run as fast as they can, and others will come. But it will be contagious one way or the other. The other thing we can learn is, he says, this will all happen because he will declare to you the things that are to come. So if you and I want to know what's going to come in the future, it is going to be the Holy Spirit who declares that. Let me stop there for a second in the time and season we're living in. None of us, you or me, or anybody else, I don't care how authoritative they speak. I don't know how well you know the Word of God and how well you know the eschatological aspect of the Word of God. Really, only the Holy Spirit knows. He knows the future. The Bible tells us, well, he will tell us and declares it to us, the things that are to come. And you say, well, that's why I know. I'm the authority now. That's why I do know. Well, how many times have you been wrong? How many times have I been wrong? I was absolutely certain this is going to be it. I heard a study, it was published a few days ago, where they interviewed many, many pastors in the United States of America. They said, finally, they get the picture. Over 80% of all pastors interviewed believe that we are in the last days and Jesus is coming back because of this coronavirus. Well, what if 80% are wrong if this is not going to happen? What if these things is coming and is going and the whole economic situation will turn upside down? And then we start all over again, which many generations before us have experienced. Wouldn't that look a little bit less authoritative? So we need to be so careful, because knowing the future is not our main thing. Knowing the one who is in control of the future is the essential thing. And that you only can get to know when the Holy Spirit reveals to you, through the Word of God, the truth. Why here in the 14th verse is the key, why this is so important. He, that's the Holy Spirit, will glorify me. The whole thing with everything we're going through in life, not just this situation, but anytime, good or bad, we want to glorify Jesus in the whole process. So if we're going to act like the world does, we are not contagious for Jesus. And it doesn't bring him any glory. If we tell the world how bad it's going to get, and the mark of the beast is right around the corner, the Antichrist will rise up, Israel will be blown apart, and all these things, which all will have their proper place one day. But if we're going to speak like this with authority today, and we are wrong, this is not going to glorify Jesus. But if we are honestly projecting the truth, what the Holy Spirit has given us today, we can say, Lord Jesus, all I want is to glorify you. Today is the day. Today is the day when I want to be contagious for Jesus. Today is the day when I want to be enthusiastic about what God is doing. Today is the day when I want to be contagious about what he has promised, and I know without any doubt he's going to fulfill it. Listen, he is faithful. We are not. He is fulfilling his promises. We have a tough time to fulfill promises. There's a huge difference there. So when the Bible says that these early believers were actually listening to what the apostles said and then tried to implement that into their lives to bring glory and honor to Jesus, they were actually setting the world on fire for Jesus. The enthusiasm was unbelievable. Well, I think that's our best moment right now. Our moments are not to hide. Our moments are not to be quiet. Our moments are not to be downtrodden like everybody else. Our moments are not to be fearful. Do we get it or do we don't get it? Our moment is to be enthusiastically contagious to everyone we come in contact with, because we know and we live that Jesus is in control of everything. There is nothing in this world right now which God lost control over. And I cannot overemphasize that truth. If we are going to be fearful like the world, and we're going to go into the political process and thinking our politicians are going to save us from these problems, you have lost the effective focus of essentials. And that's my challenge to all of my people. Listen, politicians come and go. Economic advisors come and go. Health experts come and go. Jesus and his word stays forever. Let's put the essentials into practice. Be wise and listen to what the Holy Spirit has to say. The Apostle Paul, in his last letter recorded, found in 2 Timothy, he was in jail in Rome by that time. He appealed to Caesar, and they brought him to Rome. And sometimes we forget. We think it was one of those air-conditioned Hollywood-style mansion where he was in jail. Oh, no. They had 20, 30, 40 feet deep wells dug up, where on top of it, there was an opening only big enough to let the prisoner go through that hole on a rope, and they let him down. It was musty, rat-infested. There was no bathroom facility down there. He was under the most severe circumstances. He knew that his life is coming to an end. He knew it. He said, my days are numbered. I am about ready to go home to be with the Lord. Then he writes these words to his young protege, Timothy. Let's read in 2 Timothy chapter 4. Powerful stuff. He says, I charge you in the presence of God. I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead. And by his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Preach the word, he said. Be ready in season and out of season. Right now we can't meet in the building, the church building. It would be kind of out of season situation. Listen, I keep preaching the word to you. I'm excited that I can come every Sunday into your home and preach the word to you. I'm excited on Wednesday night when you tune in and you hear the word of God as we're discussing it. I'm excited about these things. I want to preach the word. If it's in season or out of season, it does not matter. I get up every morning just like you do, and I say to the Lord, Lord Jesus, today is another day you have given me. Let me bring with my life, the way I talk, the way I walk, the way I do things, bring glory and honor to you and you alone. Paul said, in these kind of circumstances, he said, Timothy, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. But then he uses three words we don't want to hear anymore today in church. Reproof. Who wants to be reproved? Rebuke? No, that's unacceptable today. Exhort? Yeah, I take that. But Paul said to Timothy, with complete patience and teaching. You do it with patience when I tell you what I think you should do today. I don't expect that tomorrow you're going to be mature in all these things, but I do expect you to think about it, to process it, and to pull yourselves a little bit away from the heated discussions you might be involved with a neighbor or maybe on your social media account on the things. I can't help you. It's one of those horses I'm probably going to ride until I'm dead. And that is, when do Christians recognize that every political statement you make, good or bad, is recorded and it will be held against you, and it doesn't bring any glory to the Lord Jesus Christ? See, I said many times to you personally, and I say it privately to people, if they're going to come into my home and arrest me and put me in jail because I preach the gospel, praise God. But if they're going to come after me because I was stupid enough to put political stuff on the social media, or now I am an enemy of the state, well, you can't put that on your spiritual account. That is your foolishness. That has nothing to do with Jesus. It doesn't bring Jesus any glory. So we need to learn these things. It takes discipline. Do I get sometimes kind of tense when I hear what's going on in the world? Would I like to make a few statements? Yes, I do. My wife knows very well, yes, I would love to make some statements, but they are not for the public consumption. Because I am first and foremost a child of the living God, an ambassador of his kingdom on this earth and in a country that does not honor my king. But I do, and Christians in this country supposed to be doing it too. And every action we take, and in every conversation we're involved in any posting we're involved in that does not bring glory and honor to Jesus, check it and say, I'm done with this. Oh man, they make me mad. I would like to post that. Discipline with patience. Hold on for dear life. As a matter of fact, let me say to you, all your postings you do, the only thing that feels important is the one who posted it. People out there, they don't care. There are millions of them who are posting like you. Most of the posts you do, somebody else created to begin with. It's not an essential. I've looked it up everywhere in the Bible. I can't find posting on social media an essential. Reading the Word of God, listening to the Word of God, listening to His teaching. Yeah, it just makes you different. People will know that you are different. Paul said, I want you to do these things, reprove, rebuke, exhort, with complete patience and teaching. Teaching is a constant, ongoing process. Just teach it. That's what I do right now. Exhort with complete patience. For the time is coming. Paul wrote that 2,000 years ago. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching. But having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions. Listen, let's stop there for a second. Would you say you're passionate about what's going on in this country? Would you say you're passionate about how we have political battles going on, economic battles going on, health battles going on? Would you say you're passionate about? Yeah, I would say. I'm passionate about too. How could you not? But listen to that warning. Paul said, when people do these things, they don't endure sound doctrine for the reason they have the passion somewhere else. We need to be so careful not to be more passionate about what's going on in our country and what's going on in our health system and in our economy than we are passionate about the Lord Jesus Christ on this word. We need to be so careful. Our passion needs to be in the spiritual, representing Him. Are you that passionate to bring glory and honor to Jesus Christ in everything you say and do, as you're passionate about the things that's going on in the world? See, that's the challenge Paul has for all of us. He said, because we became so passionate, because our ears itching. We can't stand what we hear. We can't stand what somebody posts. It's itching. I've got to scratch it. And Paul said, don't do it, because you're not happy with one teacher. You're going to go and you're gonna literally hound YouTube. You're literally going to hound all the things you can find on social media that somebody would agree with you. That's my passion. That's what I pursue. He said, you accumulate more and more and more. But where ought to that passion to be? He said, listen, eventually, when you do that, when you are so passionate about these things and you're not as passionate about Jesus, you're not contagious for Jesus anymore. And here is the biggest danger. He said, you will eventually turn away from listening to the truth. Wow. Paul said, you will eventually turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. Had to look it up. What is a myth? A myth is a misconception, a widely held but false belief or idea. Oh yes, there are a lot of wildly held but misconstrued ideas. And Paul said, this is not coming without major problems. We as Christian brothers and sisters need to challenge one another to be passionate and contagious for the gospel of Jesus, for His kingdom, and to bring glory and honor to Jesus. That's where our passion must lay. That's where it's at. If not, and we become more passionate about the things in this world, the end result will be we will stop listening to those who preach the truth. And then we create a vacuum. And that vacuum will be filled with myths, misconception, wildly held beliefs or idea, but they're not true. That's what's going to be filled with. Wow. Paul is telling Timothy, I want you to know there will be these kind of things happening. But for you, Timothy, I've taught you. For you, you are going to have a passion for the truth. You're going to preach it. You're going to have to reprove when necessary in a loving, caring way. You're going to have to rebuke it if somebody constantly wants to sidetrack brothers and sisters, feeding them with that stuff rather than being rebuked and say, stop that nonsense. That doesn't make Jesus look more contagious. Well, but I have that knowledge. Well, God is not really interested in your knowledge. He's interested that you know Him. Him. And be very compassionate about it. I've said many times, do the people you work with know how passionate you are about Jesus? When you have conversations with people, do they actually know that you are extremely passionate about Him? Or are you a person who has absolutely no problem to get into conversation where Jesus is not even in the picture? But oh man, I'm passionate about it. Maybe God has us there where He has us to rethink what our essentials are. Our essentials are laid out in Acts chapter 2. And as you will learn on Wednesday, this is what disciples do. Real, genuine disciples. This is what they do. Luke is telling us that they devoted themselves to these things. That's a decision which you and I make. That point alone, that devotion to the apostles' teaching, that passion for Jesus and His glory, could keep us busy for a whole month, couldn't it? Just trying to refocus, trying to refocus, trying to refocus, until we see Jesus for who He truly is. All the things you and I have need of, whatever their needs are, Jesus has a solution. He does have a solution to all these things. The church did not die when the book of Acts was written. It was a new creation through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. 2,000 years later, 1 billion people in the world walking around knowing about Jesus and saying, I'm following Jesus. Think about that. And I don't know if all are genuine, but you know what? If they proclaim Jesus and don't bash Him, well, it's better than doing nothing. Let them follow Jesus. So, how can I be so contagious? Well, let me take another myth out of your arsenal. You don't have to have a seminary degree. It's not important to be contagious. You don't need to know everything in the Bible. You don't need to know all Greek and Hebrew. It's good when you do, but you don't need to. What you do need to be contagious for Jesus is you have to be authentic. You have to be honest. You have to be unguarded. Listen to me. You have to be unguarded when you share about Jesus. Because the Holy Spirit will use you if your devotion is to that honesty and authenticity. Don't make your testimony bigger than it is. Don't make it smaller. Just tell it the way it is. Tell the people that when you heard the word that Jesus died for you and you embraced that truth, He changed your life. He gave you a new nature. Tell the people, honestly, what that means to you. I have only covered one point this morning so far, the point of the apostles' teaching. I have not looked at fellowship, at breaking of bread and prayers. But I think I'm not going to slice that into two segments. I'm going to slice that into next week, the other one, parts. And the reason is, as I share this with you, my passion is for you to get that really down. I think it would be important for you just to meditate on this. To reevaluate, where am I right now? Where is my devotion? Do I really trust Jesus? Even during these difficult times? And when I say, by the way, being honest, that's a part of every true disciple. To share. Let's say, if you lost your job, If you don't share with us, we don't know. We are not omnipotent. We are not omniscient. Remember, only God is that. So we don't know. Personally, I never go on Facebook to look up what you post. I'm not interested, because if I swim in manure, I'm going to stink like manure, and I refuse to swim in manure. So I'm not going. But I tell you what, my friends, if you don't have what you need for the day, there is the body of Christ. There is the fellowship which is providing, if you let it know. That's what family is all about. When one in the family is sick and needs prayers, he lets family members know. As a matter of fact, if you have really good relational contacts, somebody needs to know. If you don't have enough food at home right now, because you didn't have the means or whatever, the circumstances don't matter. What matters is that you honestly share. If you struggle and you have a problem right now in the emotional and spiritual, that you get really depressed, don't you hide it. Share with somebody. Say, I have a real battle with depression right now. The body of Christ is here. Share it with someone. We're not here to thumb you down. We're not here to use what you share and use it against you. We're here to help you, to pray for you. And if there are physical needs, listen, our church family is big enough and equipped enough to help everyone in our church. One will step up to the plate. What one doesn't have, the other has. Next time what that person needs, and someone else has. If we do it right, there is not a single member of Victory who has anything lacking that is needed. This is God's teaching. This is what we're going to look at in the next few weeks as we look at the other three essentials. If we do it God's way, my friend, you're not alone. We're family. Yes, we can't get together all at once. But you know what? Praise God for equipment like he's given us. Praise God that I can move right into your living room. You might say, I'm glad he doesn't see how I'm living here. I don't want to see it. You can see how I live. I'm almost living a day and night in here now, just preparing everything. Not quite. But yeah, we're doing so good because God is so good. And I want you to know that no matter what our nation has to endure, no matter what the decisions are coming down, you and I don't have to fear anything. The church family is here for you and for me and for everybody else for that matter. We are here. This is what church is all about. This is doing church at its best. And so I just want to encourage you. Look into the Word. Open the Word on a daily basis. You don't have to become a scholar. But when you read something in the Word of God, lift your eyes towards heaven and say, Lord, could you please give me some input here by your Holy Spirit that I know how to apply that to my life? Make me contagious, Lord. I want to be contagious. I want to be passionate about the truth. I don't care if people recognize it's just my nature. I don't have to make it happen. Just use me for your glory. If I send an email out, if I'm going to pick up the phone and talk to somebody, Lord, make me contagious. The people go, where do you live? Don't you know we're going to trouble? Oh, my God's got that. I get up every morning and I love him and he loves me. Nothing to fear. This is what the Word of God does to you and me. This is what it means to preach the Word in season and out of season, because it does its work in a healthy and in a sick person, in a rich or in a poor person. It does its work. The Word of God is more powerful than anything. It's eternal. That's what we want to hear. That's what we want to live. And that's what makes us contagious people. Put it to the test. See how God honors that. because his son Jesus Christ gets all the glory out of it. Amen. Praise God. I'm so glad you tuned in. But I tell you what, you make me more happier if you are going to put that into practice, because it will be a blessing to you, it will be a blessing to the people you meet, and it will bring the name of Jesus glory and honor. And what greater joy could we have than when our Lord is being lifted up in the midst of it all? Praise God. Now let's bow our heads and let's thank Him. Heavenly Father, we want to thank You. Thank You for the saints that have gone before us, brothers and sisters, especially Luke and Paul, as we were reading these things, and Timothy, but they're all wonderful examples for us. Thank You for Your Holy Spirit leading us to these pages and giving us insight and challenging us. Thank You, Lord, for even rebuking us if it's necessary, challenging us to live according to Your word. Going to get the answers from You and not from this world will give us a peace the world cannot give us, will supply all our needs according to Your riches, not the world's riches, but Your riches. And Lord, we thank You for that. I'm asking You, Heavenly Father, that You will bless every family that tuned in, every family that will tune in around the world. Lord, I'm thanking You for blessing and protecting all of us, giving us favors with You, favors with the people we come in contact with, favors for people we may work for, Lord, favors with our neighbors. Wherever we need favors, Lord, may You pour it upon us. May You grant us not a spirit of fear, but of love, of power, of a sound mind. And may You use us for Your glory. And all God's people can say, amen and amen. My friends, we love you. Hopefully you take that to heart and bring glory and honor to Jesus. And we're going to end this service together with a beautiful worship song. Then I see you on Wednesday again, right here at 6:30 p.m. And we're going to study this book together, and we're going to deeper into it what I just started this morning. God bless you as you go. Mighty tower, Your name.
the power to say, but your name, your name is a strong and mighty tower. Your name is a shelter like no other. Your name, let the nations sing it louder, 'cause nothing has the power to say, 'cause your name is a strong and mighty tower. Your name is a shelter like no other. Your name, let the nations sing it louder, 'cause nothing has the power to say but your name.
Found in you. liberty. Your hand is strong to save. You split the raging sea. You crush our enemies. Your hand is strong to save.
The Lord our God is mighty in battle. We are not afraid. His hand upholds us through our trials. Our God is strong to save.
Here in this desert place, we're carried by your grace. Your hand is strong to save.
Perfect.